What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, Notre Dame fans, whenever you are watching or listening this week's Notre Dame football show. Pod Like a Champion for those listening via podcasts. Really appreciate you guys for making us a part of your day. I'm Mike Singer. He's Tim Hyde. We are pushing the show up a day early for this week. I'm traveling Wednesday through Friday. Thankful for Tim to... We'll do this on a Tuesday, and we are having Jack Sobel and Tyler Horka. Jack was on our show last Wednesday, did a tremendous job, and Tim texted me the other day, and he was like, yo, let's get Jack and Tyler Horka on from Blue and Gold, our tremendous beat writers, on the show. So we'll be talking with them in a little bit. Tim, you doing all right? How many times are you watching the spring game?
Really once, but within that one time, five probably. So as you go back and forth a handful of times rewatching certain guys and rolling from there. Yeah, just a few little things that just really wanted to focus on. Most of it was the front guys, just those the tackles, really the O-line and D-line. Especially one of my talking points last week was the 23-24 class guys, and got to see a ton of them playing in that game. So I was really looking forward to that. And then obviously watching all three quarterbacks. It was nice not to see a walk-on quarterback in a spring game, And
I think Dylan DeVizin maybe got a few snaps, but.
Did he? Yeah. I'll be honest. The last minute and a half, I was getting ready to do the live show with you.
That's so true.
I didn't click on that. I was like, oh, it's over. Once that CJ Carr threw that ball through KK's hands, I was like, all right, here we go. Here we go. Let's get ready for the live show. But all right. So we got it. But anyway, it was a lot of fun. It's one of my little notes I had for the game was just like, be positive. Let's have fun. Let's see how this thing is. That was a little goal of mine just, for the team and whatnot. And it was a fun Saturday. A lot of action, a lot of activity, good, bad, young players all over the place, which was nice. I mean, that's going back to the early enrollees. What, they have 15, and a whole bunch of those dudes are out there playing. So that was nice to see. But it was a fun Saturday, and looking forward to talking with the fellas tonight about it. And put a little, close it on to spring and start the countdown to A&M, and let's see what this football team's going to bring to the table on August 31st. That's really what I'm excited for now moving forward.
Yes, sir, folks. So please hit the thumbs up on this video if you're watching on YouTube, whether you are live or watching back. Really appreciate the support. And if you're listening via podcast, thank you very much. Please leave us a 5-star rating if you enjoy the show, which I'm sure you do, because it's awesome. It really is. So, Tim, tell us about was it late last night or was it this morning? You posted breakdowns of Tosh Baker and Jagasaw and Wagner. So, tell us what you saw in rewatching and focusing on those three guys.
Yeah, it was last night. By the way, Mike, yeah, it is like when you're trying to type a bunch, man, it gets exhausting after a while. You're like, I have to take a break. I was down in the basement having some fun, had some music going, and was just typing that because I had watched a ton of, obviously, I mean, that's what I basically spent my Sunday night doing, is rewatching it, and really wanted to focus, because when we left Saturday, it was like, oh man, you know, it's always, it looked worse than it is. And you start to break it down. I was like, okay, we got to watch these offensive tackles, see what the heck's going on. And always, Mike, how many times do we say this? 1,000 more positives than negatives. Really, really was. And even on, you know, Charles Jagasaw had some sloppy beginning. I thought him, Baker were sloppy to start. And then once they got going, they got going. Baker only played the first half. And then he had a heck of a last quarter and a half. His beginning was a little sloppy. Same with Charles. But man, the more you watch Charles Jagasaw, dude, it's all fun. It's just the most minor things, because he does them a ton. And then when he tries to do something different, you can see it in his hand placement, the way he sets. It's like, dude, you're a redshirt freshman. Do two things, kick ass in them, excuse my French, and go dominate this year instead of trying to mix it up too much. And I thought he played really good. I mean, he went against Traore and Oben a ton. They got the best of them a few times. Overall, over the course of things, dude, I thought Charles played his butt off against Boubacar Traore, you know, and guys that are on the message board, we could talk about it and things of that nature. It was awesome. I thought he absolutely destroyed, you know, Bryce Young all game. I mean, Bryce Young couldn't even get off the line of scrimmage a lot of the time. So I thought that was interesting. And then Mike, Mr. Emil Wagner, how is he not one of the best five? And that's, I'm just throwing it out there. It's like, obviously we're not in the room with Joe Rudolph and Den Brock and Freeman and all the fellas. Emil Wagner has got to be one of the most improved football players over the course of 2 years. Just, you know, obviously his freshman, you know, he wasn't there for spring. Last year was his first spring, but I just want to give him a little virtual YouTube high five for, you know, how he's worked, how he's developed his body. This dude was running track, playing basketball. He's a three-sport superstar, and now he's in the 290s. He looks big. He looks like he's really big, and he absolutely dominated. He went against Botello. Who was it? Botello, Tuli Alamaka, and Josh Burnham, and was just, I thought, an absolute stud. So curious to see how this thing pans out with the O-line. Athleticism. Emil Wagner has it by a lot. So how does this battle going to weigh out? So,
and Baker?
God, man, Tosh is Tosh, I think, right? He's a monster. When he's bad, it's really bad. And when he's on, there's some run plays. It's funny. Someone posted down the message board, which was right. When you run the ball, get Tosh in. When you pass the ball, put Wagner in. Can you do that rotation in a game? Does that work? But, Tosh is he's huge. And when he sets right and he's got those massive arms that he has, he's hard to get around. And that's his strength. His strength is just riding dudes out. Like, you're not going to get around me because I'm just too long. And, really talented with that. What did I say there? Whatever that.
Nothing. Nothing. I was just looking down.
But anyway, solid day watching those guys. The interior guys was good. Amazed at Rocco. I mean, seriously, he did just had an MCL surgery, you know, during November, and here he is running around in spring. So nice to see him. And then obviously we'll dive into a bunch of other things with the other guys.
Okay. If you had to pick two of the three tackles.
I'll go Charles and Emil Wagner. I would go Emil Wagner because you're going to get 3 years from him if he stays a fifth year. You could start – I mean, Emil Wagner could start 24, 25, 26 and be a first-round draft pick. Same with, Charles over there on the left side. Yeah, I would. It's like, I mean, what do you have to lose? Seriously. His athleticism, the strength that I've seen from Emil from playing in the, you know, in the scrub times that he got this past year, this spring last year, is just the way he has just learned the position. And that goes back to coaching. Same thing with some of the young defensive linemen. You can see the coaching that's gone on over the last 12 months with Washington and Joe Rudolph with the O-line and now Washington on the D-line. So Wagner's just got too much upside, man. You got to get him on the field. You just do. Because even when he's bad, there's one play. He didn't set his hands, and then he's so damn fast with his feet. He reset, and all of a sudden, Tuli Alamaka tried this spin move, and Emile's just like, you're not moving. And I think you're going to see so much of that with him over the course if he wins the job.
Okay. Next up for discussion before we bring in Blue and Gold beat writers, Tyler Horka and Jack Sobel. Was there transfer portal news today? Micah Bell, rising sophomore from Houston, the Kincaid School, 5'10", 177 pounds. Tim, this wasn't someone who, you know, when we have our Blue and Gold staff meeting powwows, wasn't someone that I think we really talked about as someone we thought would hit the portal, but at the same time, not really surprising. Good player. Tim, I just don't think he was going to play at Notre Dame. Why spend like 3 more years here if you're not going to play? And so if that's the case, like go play somewhere. Two schools I would watch for him, Houston, being the local school. And then Bell's a very smart kid. I think Vanderbilt, another program to watch. Maybe even Troy, Jared Parker, and, you know, some old Notre Dame coaches or former Notre Dame coaches, I should say, are there. So anyways, Tim, when you saw this news today, what was your first reaction?
I'm always talk about year three. It's like, see what happens over the course, get to your junior year. But I'm going to just go with what you said, Mike, is like, hey, if he knows he's not going to crack that lineup, he's not going to get in there. It's kind of like going back to, Bellamy a couple years ago. Some of the other DBs from the 21 class that just was like, I can't get on the field. It's time to hang it up, move on, whatever it is. So the one thing, man, is you could go on the portal window on the On3, which has an unbelievable portal tracker. Their webpage is awesome.
Yeah.
I think I would say 80% of it's wide receivers, DBs. So it's like, there's so many of them, Mike. There's so many of them. So you could go into, FIU and pull a wide receiver. You could go down to, who's the guy that just visited? Rice. There we go. Rice. You could get all these guys. Heck, Alabama got a guy out of Louisiana Tech last year. And I think a guy from Alabama, Birmingham.
Notre Dame's been going into Marshall.
Exactly. So there's so many bodies at these skill guys. And we talk about this in recruiting all the time where there's so many damn wide receivers. They're all over the country. So it stinks because obviously you go back to Bell's film. Fast as heck, electric,
really good athlete,
great out. I remember saying, "I'm like, man, I would have played him at slot because he's just fast as hell and get him the ball." But they wanted to make him a DB, as life goes. And it's me personally, it's not going to hurt Notre Dame because they could go find a guy. They're going to find a guy for a year. And this is the one thing, especially the last couple of years, right? DN, defensive back, wide receiver where needed. You find these guys in the portal. So, and Notre Dame's recruiting so good at so many other positions, there hasn't been a need to go to the other spots, when you look at the portal. So it's fine. Life moves on, right, in this new day and age. And that's the way you got to look at it.
All roads lead back to recruiting rankings, Tim, on this show. You know where I'm going. Look.
Yeah, what was your thing you got rolling today? I was just reading a few things. I really didn't read. All I read with you into your it was just more of also. Yeah, I mean, and the other thing, right? Every time a guy leaves now, Mike, it's like, all right, we're gonna hit that one-third window of guys that won't make it. It's just it's the numbers. It always adds up, man.
Micah Bell was ranked a 3-star by On3 and a 4-star everywhere else, and just so much hate on the message board about that for such a long time. So I have to pull out the receipts, and I did on the board today. So sometimes when the guys are ranked lower, sometimes those rankings are correct. We'll just leave it at that. Wish Bell all the best. I think he could be a really good player. I just don't think it's at corner. I think it's as a slot or dude, he's a really good football player. I remember doing articles on his his senior year, and you know, when we do those commit track articles with the stats and everything, great numbers at running back. like a state exactly. champion. He was fantastic. I think like the first four plays of a senior film is all kick returns, touchdowns. Super fast, like 10.47, I think was his 100 meter. But it just didn't work out at Notre Dame. Wish Micah Bell all the best.
Exactly. And I think I even remember you reporting during the All-American game how much he was struggling at DB, if I remember right. And that's why I just kept going back to like, man, play him on offense. He's so damn fast. That's the guy you hit on a middle screen and let that speed take off. But you're right. They tried him at D, didn't work out, and he moves on, and we'll roll from there.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and bring in Tyler Horka and Jack Sobel, Blue and Gold beat writers. I'll hold on real quick. I was just reading. Brent says Singer, he has 3 years of eligibility. He's projected to start at nickel in 2025. Talking about Bell, who is projecting Micah Bell to start at nickel in 2025? Brent, I don't know what you're talking about.
Who's the expectations, quote unquote?
I don't know who's projecting that. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
All right. Anywho. All right. Let's bring in the guys. Tyler Horka, Jack Sobel. Guys, trust that you are doing well. Jack, everything good on your end, man?
Yeah, everything's great on my end. How about you, Mike?
Exhausted, but I'm happy you guys are here. I'm going to sit back, chill a little bit, maybe write an article on the side because I got some more content to do. Tyler, you good, brother? You guys are both looking spiffy. Did you guys call each other and say, we're going to put on the flannel?
Nah, I just came from a women's basketball banquet, so I was like,
how was that?
That was good. Hannah Hidalgo went up on stage for like 4 different awards, so it went as exactly as everyone expected. That girl can
news, hoop. Right?
She can hoop.
All right.
News there, right, Tyler?
What do you say, Jack?
There's some news there, right?
Oh, yeah. KK Bransford's coming back. So one of those all in the portal, out of the portal type of deals, which in this day and age, it's like the Maddie Westbelt thing. Whenever you retain a player, it almost feels like you're getting a player out of the portal at this point. Yeah. So that's good news for that team.
So last Wednesday during the show, which Jack was on, did a phenomenal job, did so well, we're bringing him back. We discussed 5 things that Tim was kind of looking forward to about the game. And I figured let's kind of revisit those as our talking points for today. So to start, the underclassmen quarterback battle between CJ and Kenny Minchie. I made the astute observation, I think it was one of my better ones, that, look, what you think about Steve, nothing he's going to do in the spring game is going to change that. I think that bared to be accurate. What you thought about Steve is the same now. But CJ and Kenny were fairly impressionable on, maybe except for my esteemed colleague Mike Goolsby on Mr. Minchie. Just teasing you, Gools. But, yeah, I'll go to Tyler first. What did you make of these quarterbacks?
Well, I thought they were both good. I mean, we're a few days removed now, so you can kind of – I, like Tim, went back and rewatched it just to make sure that I wasn't a prisoner of the moment and seeing some things that maybe my eyes were telling me that were happening right in front of me, but maybe I wouldn't think actually happened when I went back and watched. But when I saw it, I was maybe even more impressed by them the second time that I watched it through. Because when you see 3 different quarterbacks play in one game live, it's kind of hard to keep track. Okay, this guy did that, that guy did that. What I did know in the moment is that, and I'll get to CJ Carr because I think he has a little bit of this too, but I think Kenny Minchie is the closest thing that Notre Dame has to like a true dual threat as Riley Leonard. Like, we know Riley Leonard is one and he's a different runner than Kenny Minchie. I thought Kenny Minchie was beyond impressive, just escaping plays, making something out of nothing. And that's the thing with him. And we saw it, Jack can attest to this, in the scrimmage, just literally 1 week prior, he runs when everything is broken down and it makes sense to run. And that's really impressive. He's not just fleeing a pocket because he knows he can run. He knows when to run. So I thought that was really impressive. And then CJ Carr knows when he's got to get out of the pocket and make a play on the sideline or throw it to a tight window that he knew that he couldn't throw it to if he was just standing in the pocket. So when he takes off, he's looking to throw down the field. I think there's an impressive quality that, like, that's an impressive thing to have as a quarterback. And the kid is what, 18, 19 years old, and he already knows how to do that. And I think that's going to get even better for him at the college level. So I think what we saw on Saturday kind of was a confirmation and affirmation of what we already knew. Notre Dame has four really good quarterbacks, and they're all good at different things. Steve Angeli, like you said, cool character, calm, cool, collected, goes out there. You look at the end of the day, he's got a good stat line. Kenny Minchie, athletic. He's going to throw the ball into some areas that maybe you don't want him to. We saw the interception. But by way of that, he's going to make some plays as well. And then CJ Carr maybe has the best upside of any of those three. And he was rated what he was in the recruiting rankings for that reason. So I was impressed. And all these guys can do a lot of different things.
Jack?
Yeah, no, I'm with you there, Tyler. What really struck me about Kenny is obviously it's the legs. I mean, Tyler obviously talked about that. But it's the arm talent, too, with him. Like, he's – Mike, where'd Mike go?
I think he took himself off on purpose.
Yeah, don't you worry about me. Don't you worry about me, handsome. I'll be listening.
My bad there. So Kenny Minchie, he's got a great arm talent. The throw that stood out was obviously the touchdown to Micah Gilbert, Gilbert's first touchdown of the game, where he's got Drake Bowen bearing down on him. I think he came free on a blitz or a stunt. There's no one in front of Drake Bowen, and Drake Bowen – a freak of an individual. He's got to be scary to see coming in free out in a blitz. Just stands in there, takes a hit, delivers a dime down the right sideline to Micah Gilbert, and Gilbert does a nice job separating at the catch point and getting the touchdown. That's the upside with Kenny Minchie. It's the athleticism, but it's also the arm talent. We didn't really see him throw on the run, but he strikes me as a guy who has the arm elasticity to throw on the run and make some of those really impressive off schedule throws. I don't know if he's there yet to be able to make those, but I think he's got the physical tools to figure it out. He's a super fun player to watch. I love watching Kenny Minchie. If a little erratic, we mentioned the interception, obviously. And he almost had a pick six to Ben Minnick, I believe. Carr is just beyond his years. As a passer, the ball just zips out of his hands. He's accurate. I'm sure we talked about this last week, but the way he manipulates the pocket and gets himself out of the pocket and manipulates receivers downfield when he gets there. It's insane for someone who should be in high school right now. We've said the word should be in high school right now, probably about 15 different times between last Saturday and now about CJ Carr. He's extremely impressive. They're both very impressive. Notre Dame has a really good quarterback room from top to bottom.
Yeah. I'll just add one more thing to that. To the arm talent thing, Jack, with Kenny Minchie. I don't know if you guys remember the play, but I think he was flushed a little bit left and bought some time out there. And then he had even more guys come at him and he just flicked the thing through the back of the end zone or kind of the corner of the end zone into the kind of where that, like right in front of the student section where that little stadium DJ is set up. And I just watched that ball go. And the play was completely inconsequential. Like I said, throwaway. But when Minchie just kind of launched it from down here and it just like flew out, I was like, holy cow, this guy can like, he's got arm talent. He can really spin it. And he's been number three here for as long as he's been here. So we haven't really had a chance to see it. I was just glad Saturday he was given the reins for pretty much a full half until Carr started doing his thing, mixing and matching. Like we actually saw Kenny Minchie really the last two Saturdays, because I go back to that scrimmage and he was pretty good that day too.
Yeah, I'll add one last quick thing about Kenny. Like the way we use the word arm talent and not arm strength, that's intentional, right? Because when we say arm talent, we mean like on that touchdown to Gilbert, he stands in. He doesn't have room to step up. He just kind of flicks the ball off his back foot, and it's accurate as heck. It's on the money. It's on time. That's what we mean with the arm talent with him. And it's really exciting for Notre Dame, I think.
Someone with arm strength and maybe not the full arsenal of talent probably throws that thing through the back of the end zone. Yes. And that's not a touchdown to Micah Gilbert, but he put it on the money. And I'll say, while we're on the topic of Micah Gilbert and these quarterbacks, how about CJ Carr's touchdown to Micah Gilbert too? I mean, that thing, Gilbert just toasts the corner on that play, but there's a safety coming across and he's got to hit. That's a timing throw. He's got to hit that receiver with the ball right when he did. Otherwise, maybe it was Luke Talich coming across, I believe it was.
Might have been Kenny Urlacher or Talich, one of those two, yeah.
That thing probably gets broken up, but Carr puts the ball there at the perfect time, and You love to see that out of your young quarterbacks when they can get the ball to the guys when they have to get it to them.
Does look like Talich. I think you were right the first time, but yeah, I completely agree. It's the timing. He doesn't, like, you can see him in the clip. He doesn't, you know, reach back for something extra on the throw. He just lofts it in there, trusts his accuracy, trusts his timing. You know, we've said it again and again and again. He has so many skills that you don't really see from a quarterback his age. And you don't even see it in the NFL for rookies a lot. You don't see that the kind of maturity and timing to make those throws. It's just really impressive.
I love it. Just sitting here listening to you guys talk. It's going back to one of the first things I said with Mike is, you know, we had three quarterbacks, you know, that, you know, we talked about this on Saturday. I think Notre Dame fans left Saturday thinking, hey, we can play with these guys. And I think that's a good thing. And we saw that on Saturday. And it's nice to watch an entire blue and gold game, as I said, you know, 20 minutes ago, where it's the quarterbacks. It wasn't walk-ons and things of that nature. It's these three guys just getting better each and every rep and every day in practice. You know, Minchie's got talent. They both got talent. They were both at the Elite 11. They both had really good days when they were at the Elite 11, talking about Minchie and CJ Carr. Only one could play. And that's, you know, and obviously you still got Steve Angeli with CJ Carr, man. It's just, I don't think it's hype. I don't think it's a narrative that's being woven or anything. I think it's what you guys have talked about. It's going back to what you guys talked about when you saw him in a bowl practice. And I remember Singer, I think the very first day he and I did a show that Wednesday, and he had got a text from someone saying he's pretty good. And that was just day one throwing the ball around. It's not like, you know, and there's a few things, you know, I've heard 6 million in two Notre Dame press conferences, and there's certain things you're not hearing. You're not hearing, well, he's young, you know, he's got to learn, you know, wait till he develops, and, you know, oh, he can't, you know, we're so excited about the future, blah, blah, blah. No, Marcus Freeman say, no, he's kicking butt right now. He's really good right now. And that, I think that says more than anything when you're not hearing these buzzwords about, you know, down the road. It's right now. And everything we saw Saturday is true. I think, I mean, we've been watching CJ Carr for a couple of years now, since he got offered, since he committed, since Mike saw him live in person a couple of years ago in South Bend with all those guys. He's a damn good quarterback. Me personally, I'd rather have a quarterback that when he's scrambling, he's looking for a dude down the field. You know, Bryce Young in Alabama, when he won the Heisman, not comparing CJ to Bryce, obviously, but you watch him. He's scrambling. I want to throw the football. Those guys are faster than me with the ball in their hands. I want to throw the damn football. And that's what I see with CJ instead of just scrambling and things of that nature. I'm a huge, huge fan throwing from one hash way to the other sideline. CJ Carr did that multiple times on Saturday. Dimes. The guy's a good freaking quarterback, man. I mean, what else can you say?
For those filling out their Tim Hyde bingo cards at home. 6 million and two, that's a good one. Things of that nature is a Tim Hyde-ism that we absolutely love.
Well, all right. We're off and running, but Minchie's an athlete. Minchie does good things and whatnot, man, but we got the two guys sitting in there in South Bend and stuff of that nature. It's like one of my big things, Mike, what did I say 9 months ago, so to speak, coming out of spring, I think we're going to know who the 2025 quarterback is. How do we not know who that is by now?
Yeah.
I think we do.
One more thing about Carr. I think, Tim, you mentioned the press conferences. To really get to know Carr, it's important to talk to his 2024 recruiting classmates about him, because when they talk about him, you can really tell just how much of a natural leader he is. Aeneas Williams said something to me that really, really stuck out. I asked him what's it like playing with Carr, and he goes, you know, it's like I feel like I'm at home, is what Aeneas Williams said. Like I feel more comfortable on the field when CJ Carr is there next to me, because they have such a good relationship with each other from their time as commits. They're both committed for a while. He has that relationship, and he's that kind of natural leader in this class. And he's going to be that for Notre Dame at some point pretty soon.
Folks, when you were in town for the Blue Gold game, I hoped you stopped by Augie's locker room, because it is the destination for Notre Dame memorabilia and one-of-a-kind Fighting Irish items. And you can really only find this stuff at one place. And, of course, that's Augie's locker room, which has moved to a brand-new location. Come see Augie's new store located at 1733 North Ironwood Drive in South Bend, just down the street from Notre Dame. Whether you're local, whether you're coming in town, driving through, whatever the case may be, make time for Augie's locker room. Check out the selection of Notre Dame Stadium pieces, jerseys, helmets, autographs, one-of-a-kind Rockne items, things that you guys are seeing on the YouTube screen, and so much more. They have exclusive Joe Montana signed items and famous sculptor Jerry McKenna's replicas of the bronze statues that you find around the stadium. And Augie gets new stuff in all the time. If he doesn't have something, he can go find it for you. If you need a Notre Dame memorabilia guy, you give Augie a call at 574-277-6363, and he's going to go find it for you. Visit Augie, 1733 North Ironwood Drive in South Bend, and see the vintage helmet display dating back to 1890, AugiesLockerRoom.com. Super chat here from Gregory Perez, very generous, $10. Thank you. He said, would y'all rather have the upside of Buckner as the backup with the inconsistent play, or the consistency of Angeli with the lower ceiling? Thanks for everything. Give me Angeli 7 days a week on this.
Yeah.
Anyone in disagreement here?
Is this for 2024, 2025 starter? Is that what he's asking?
I guess for this year.
I think he's saying, like, would you rather have high upside or high floor as a backup quarterback? It just in general. For me, if you need someone to go 1-1 in two games against good teams, it's the high floor.
Yeah, but if it's like a long-term thing, maybe it's the high upside. But if we're talking Buckner or Angeli specifically,
one is playing football and one is not at the moment.
There you go. Gregory, appreciate the super chat very much.
Can I say one more thing I got 1,000 things to say on CJ Carr, but one thing Andrew Gilmore said in the – it was just brought something up, and I was thinking more about press conferences that Jack and Tyler have gone to. It's like, going back to CJ, how many times, we want to talk about a bingo card, let's get a Freeman one on CJ. How many times does Marcus Freeman mention every time he goes by the office, CJ Carr's in there watching film? It's like, do you go to class? So he's just a different dude, man. He's a film junkie. I think he's been raised for this. I think this moment's here for him. I think he's going to take the ball and run with it, once it's his ball. That's just my take.
I go back to a story I wrote, I guess in February, I'm looking at it. I think, Mike, it was for our annual recruiting magazine. I did the CJ Carr feature. I talked to his quarterbacks, coach, trainer, whatever you want to call them. All of these guys have somebody in the offseason that they go work with. This guy's name is Will Hewlett. He's based out of Florida. So Carr was going down there a couple times a year in the summer, like almost every other week, like a lot. And Two things stand out from what Hewlett said about Carr is his dedication to the game. Like you were saying, Tim, he's always watching film. And then we spin it back to what we were talking about with arm talent. I know we raved that Kenny Minchie has it. CJ Carr has it too. And sometimes the ball just comes out of somebody's hands differently. Jack, I think you said it on social media and our message board and definitely in my ear in the press box on Saturday. Dude's got zip. Like it slings out of his hands when CJ Carr throws the ball in a good way. And I know, Tim, maybe a month ago at this point, we talked about the Riley Leonard film series, and Jack can attest to this too. Sometimes he just fastballs it and it doesn't work. CJ Carr's got that controlled zip. He knows when to get it to a guy, how to get it to a guy. Just a quarterback. Like you look at him. And it's a physical thing, too. You look at the guy, you walk into the Irish Athletic Center for 2 seconds and you look at the quarterbacks. Really, it's across the board. It's a good-looking quarterback group. But you see him and you're like, okay, CJ Carr, that's a quarterback. That guy looks like a quarterback and he plays the part, too.
Let's just take a look at the incompletions on Saturday. Incompletions sometimes, it's an incomplete whatever, but it's like CJ, the fourth down one is on a dime to KK Smith to keep that 2 minute drive going and possibly go down, win it, go for two. Hits him in the, I mean, just right on. Now, Minchie hit Gilbert for a third down that bounces off Gilbert's chest on the first drive. But his other completions was one on the sideline. It hits the tight end right in the hands on the freaking sideline.
That was an impressive play.
First pass at KVA broke up. It is the right read. That's why Freeman was jumping up and down excited. But Kingston's a five-star DB. If you look closely, Kingston's back's opposite the receiver. Kingston's so damn good athletically, he flips his hips, comes back and bats the ball. That's why he's a dude. And then the one, once again, the hash mark to the far side, the ball just lands into KK's hands and he drops it going from hash to the far sideline. So sometimes you could get a lot just looking at incompletions, and CJ's incompletions were just on the freaking money.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay. That's the quarterback talk for today's show. Moving into the offensive tackle fundamentals. So that was something that Tim really wanted to see. So we'll just kind of land on the offensive tackle play in general. Tim already talked about that at the top of the show. Tyler, what are your thoughts? And I know you were watching Tim discuss that. And I believe Jack, you were as well backstage. So what are you kind of thinking about the offensive tackle battle? Is it a battle for you? Do you think it's pretty much the Sun Bowl offensive line group? What are your thoughts right now coming out of the Blue Gold game?
Yeah, I was watching Tim say that, and I agree with him. And if you've read blueandgold.com this week, which you should have, I wrote, maybe it was today, I think it was yesterday, so Monday, on my offensive rewatch, I did three bullet points on the offense, and the very first bullet point was, Emil Wagner can win a starting offensive line spot. And I've been saying it all along. We thought we knew what the starting offensive line was at this time last year. The guys that were going to go to Dublin and play in Ireland, you had two swaps on the interior. Now your guards are kind of set. Like maybe Rocco gets his nose back into the mix and edges Billy Shrouth back out, and you have Coogan and Spindler like you did for most of the year last year. That wouldn't shock anybody. But this time around, if you're looking for those switcheroos, it's Wagner, man. And it's part Wagner, and it's part what Tim said at the beginning of this show. Tosh Baker is Tosh Baker. Like, this is his fifth year here. They tried to start him 3 years ago when Blake Fisher went out, and thank God Notre Dame finally landed on Joe Alt. I think he was like the third guy they tried there. And now he's going to hear his name called in the first 30 minutes of the NFL draft on Thursday. That's not Tosh Baker. Tosh Baker isn't a guy that's going to magically find his inner Joe Alt in the middle of his fifth college football season. And I'm not here to rag on guys, but this is just kind of the reality. Like, I think fifth year linemen on both sides of the ball, those are some of the you were talking about all the guys that you see in the portal, Tim, like DBs, wide receivers. You see a ton of linemen who have waited around, like Tosh Baker, like, all right, I'm finally going to get my chance, And it's there. It's right in front of him. Like, he could still start in College Station, and I don't think it would shock anybody because of the situation Notre Dame has there. But he is the perfect candidate to say, you know what, maybe it's not here, and I go somewhere else. So I think people wouldn't be shocked if that happens, and people wouldn't be shocked if he starts. But for Wagner, it's right there to take it, because I think Charles Jagasaw has done enough in the last 5 months to solidify his spot. So there is a battle going on there at right tackle, and I think it's one that could easily be won by the guy who's kind of nipping at the other guy's heels.
Real quick, Jack, before you jump in, I'll also say Wagner and Charles played every single snap on Saturday. So they didn't have, you know what I mean? Like, you two are staying in there. You're getting all the reps possible. And that was, I didn't even think about that until I was doing my rewatch. Like, oh, dude, these I mean, there's 120 some odd snaps in that game combined, and those two didn't come off on their side. So I thought that was a big telltale. But Emil was very impressive when you think about the pass rushers and things of that nature. So go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good segue into my point. I wanted to hit on Jagasaw. I think, Tyler, you hit on the left tackle battle pretty well. The rep I wanted to talk about with Jagasaw and what I think indicates kind of where he needs to improve before the season, it was that the end of the first half, the last play, I believe, RJ Oben gets around him and gets a strip sack on Kenny Minchie. The move Oben used, it was that cross chop move where you take two hands, swipe your hands away, rip around him, and he beats him. That, I think, is the prototypical, like, if you're a veteran edge rusher against a young offensive tackle, that's the move you're going to use. I think it was Brett Coleman does a lot of YouTube film breakdowns promoting him for no other reason than I like his stuff. He tweeted a couple months ago, like, beware of older college edge rushers in the draft who win by cross-chopping 90% of the time against 19-year-olds who've never seen it before. And obviously, that's not a knock on RJ Oben. He's going to be a good player for Notre Dame. But it's the kind of thing where, like, that's where Jagasaw is going to lose early. And that is where, like, that will get better with time. It's one thing to worry about mobility or power, but hand fighting stuff, Jagasaw is going to improve upon that with time. I liked him for a lot of that game. I think he's going to get better and be a good offensive tackle. He might not be a good offensive tackle in game one this year. I think he will be by game 12, if that makes sense.
Jagasaw's worst moments, and he's going to have a lot of really good moments. His worst moments are going to be when he's going against guys like Oben, who have played 5 years of college football and can just set up the move that you were talking about, Jack. Because I think that's what happened there. Yeah. They had gone against each other for a couple reps in a row. Oben was saving that one. He knew, okay, last play of the half, I'm going for it now. Smart player. Like you said, Notre Dame's going to really find use out of RJ Oben, but there's going to be moments like that. He's a sophomore, and like I was saying with Tosh Baker, not everybody is Joe Alt. Like, I would be shocked if Charles Jagasaw is a top 10 pick in the NFL draft in a couple of years. That's just, like, so hard to do. So you just be prepared for moments of, oh, yeah, he's a sophomore. But also be prepared for moments of, holy cow, if this guy sticks around through his senior year, we're going to have a three-year starter. Like, he could be that guy as well.
Yeah, I was going to add on to that is Charles had some sloppy plays. As I've broken it down, second half, he absolutely kicked the crap out of Traore. I mean, he was all there. There's parts where literally, you know, as I posted this for all the guys on the message board, you know, play by play, is that Traore doesn't get up the. I mean, there was a time he literally just two hand jams him like Joe Alt was awesome at, and he just can't, and he can't move. There's a counter. Traore tries doing a spin. Oben. Yeah. Oben does a spin move like every, he does three and one, it feels like. He's always spinning. But that's a great point, Tyler, is he's going into his sixth year of college football, going against a guy that had knee surgery last year, didn't even do spring football, doesn't even get healthy till the middle of the season, starts in the bowl game. It's his first spring. So, and he's out there going against a guy 28 years old, you know, Sam Hartman style, blocking like crazy. And Oben, last time we saw Oben play was against Blake Fisher and Joe Alt. So that guy's used to going against dudes. But Charles got – everyone go back, watch the second half. Charles improved so much in the second half, played his tail off, and that was really impressive. Wagner, I thought Wagner was just consistent, a little floppy at times because that's just reps, long practice day, boring. It could be whatever, fourth practice last week. Singer and I were talking about. But Wagner and Jagasaw, man, if they start – I wouldn't be shocked. And that's a great point, Tyler. You mentioned last year is Kristofic and Billy starting guards going into game one, and we didn't see them.
Tyler, do you have something to add?
Yeah, I think I was just going to say something about Jagasaw, but then we went over to Wagner again, so I lost my train of thought. But it was going to be a good point about Jagasaw. I can't remember what I was going to say. But
run blocking.
Here's what it was.
Pancakes.
I think you said it earlier in the show where I was really excited because Marcus Freeman put out that quote about Bryce Young. And if there's a freshman that just has caught his eye, he's a dude. And you look at him like the eye test is so easy to fall into that trap, but he looks the part. I was excited to see him play in this game. And then I think it was Jagasaw for the most part that just kind of shut him down. And I was like, Well, we're not going to see the Bryce Young that Marcus Freeman was talking about. But, hey, if your concern is offensive tackle play and you're going against a guy that's got Hall of Fame blood running through him and you just shut that guy down, I think that was one of the more unsung, subtle, like, victories of the day. Just, like, individual victory. Charles Jackassaw doing what he did to Traore, too. You mentioned it. He had a pretty good day once you get past some of the mistakes that we talked about.
Well, boys, I'm sure we could talk offensive line for like 3,428 minutes, but we're going to move along to. So, again, we're going through Tim's five things that he was really watching for in this spring game. We're revisiting them. So now let's go to the other side of the line. Tim really wanted to see this 2023 and 2024 defensive line class. And one of my favorite players on this Notre Dame roster, Boubacar Traore, certainly did come alive. So, Tim, this was your point. What'd you see from those two classes before we go to Tyler?
Yeah, I'll be quick, Mike. 32 seconds here, but exciting. I'll be very honest with you. I was like, let's see what happens. I'm like, they got some guys. They're probably not going to – a lot of these guys aren't going to play this year because they're just older than old up front, especially when you got the interior. But, man, I talk about all the time in the message board. D-line just sometimes scares me. It's like, because I'm a bodies guy. I just want bodies. And Singer. And but next year, you just go in the 23 class. Houston absolutely was one of my surprises. Did not expect him to move like he did. Very, very impressive. Brennan Vernon, he was 250. Then they want him at 300. Now they're settling at D tackle. Another guy. Year three is next year. By the way, Brennan Vernon, does he have the longest arms on the team? Because they are ridiculous. He's walking around like, what the living heck? He looked them. So just some really, really good looking player who's just going to keep growing. Houston, Vernon, Traore, and then you got Mukum who's out. Then the other ones. Cole Mullins, I had no clue. I mean, what he could do. And you've heard about him playing interior without a doubt. That dude's going to be a 6'4", 6'5", 280-pounder, 100 miles an hour, just go in there and just be a tear. Sean Seviano's just freaking tank, man.
Yeah.
Absolute tank. And then Young is going to just develop. But me personally, one of the highlights was those young guys, because this time next year, I think Notre Dame could just keep this D-line really moving forward.
All right, before we throw it to the guys, Tim, just don't change. I'm sorry that I laugh. I'm an immature child. But just keep being you, Tim. Just ignore me. All right, Tyler, what did you think of those? And then, Jack, you can chime in as well.
Yeah, I'll pull the Tim Hyde here and keep it a little short on this one as well. Probably won't say anything that'll make y'all laugh, but I'll pick a player from both classes. 2023, I was looking at Brennan Vernon, and I'm glad you mentioned him, Tim, because just the stature, and it wasn't just his arms to me. It was like, holy cow, this guy looks bigger than I've ever seen him at Notre Dame. So that was impressive. And there were actually a couple plays when I was watching, I wish I had my binoculars on it and just see like, okay, this line of scrimmage just condensed in a hurry and it's just a madhouse down there. What the heck happened? A couple of times I see the guys coming out of that and it was Brennan Vernon who was in the mix. I was like, all right, this guy's he can plug the holes. He can plug the gaps. He can get where he needs to be. So I thought he probably maybe had his most impressive moments that we've ever seen him in a Notre Dame practice. And then the guy from this year's class, Sean Sevillano, I guess I'm fixating on these tackles, but like, he's another one of those guys. It's like, how could he not plug the holes and just kind of muck things up when he's that big? And there have been some moments in spring ball where I'm like, oh no, he's too big. He can't move. Like, they probably need him to move because of all that size. But that's when I'm watching him try to run around tackling dummies and he's got Al Washington's doing whatever he's got these guys doing with the sleds and stuff. You put him on a football field with 10 other guys around him and 11 other guys on the other side and say, all right, you know what to do. And I think that's when I talked to him a few weeks back in spring ball, he's just a very confident dude. And you can tell, like, Who cares what happens when we're trying to tackle these dummies? Put me on a football field across from a guy that doesn't want any part of blocking me, and then you see what happens. So I think he's going to be pretty good too, just because confidence and size. You can't teach those two things. He's got both of them.
Real quick, can you one of you guys do a little research project and find out, are those custom-made Under Armour pants? Because he's a big dude. And when he's running out, Matt, God, he's huge. So really looking forward to him.
Yeah, I wanted to touch on Sevilano too. I think he's a really good mover for his size. He's quick. He can get off the ball. We saw him like engulf CJ Carr with a sack, and he beat his guy clean. He was really impressive, and I think he's going to be good at that nose tackle position at some point. Want to touch on Traore too, because like I have been pounding the table for this guy since you know Tyler and I at that one practice at school field in South Bend saw him put Ty Chan on his back with a ferocious long arm move. We've been, I think everyone on the beat has been like Boubacar Traore is going to be very good very soon. I watched him a little bit in run defense. And I think we kind of now understand why, like on the depth chart, he's still technically behind Junior Tulio Halamaka. He's just not there yet. I think Traore this coming season, we believe, and I'm sure the team believes he'll be a complete player at some point. There was a play, I think this was Kenny Minchie's touchdown run, where he just took a step and then just got flattened by Cooper Flanagan. And that was like the key block that allowed Minchie to get in. So with the young D lineman, if you're wondering why Traore isn't the starter right now, that's why. He's gonna be really helpful this year in situational pass rushing situations. And the nice thing for them with Traore, and this is the last point I'll make. The nice thing for them with Traore with these young interior defensive linemen is that because they have such a veteran group with the starters, they don't need any of these young guys to push harder than they can right now or be more than they are right now. Like when we talk about Sevilano, Vernon, Houston, like even Jason Ane at this point, who looks much improved. Howard Cross and Riley Mills played 50 to 60 snaps per game last year. There's no reason that's going to change. They're monsters in the middle. It's such a luxury because it allows the guys to actually develop at their own pace behind them. I think Notre Dame is in a great spot at that position.
And I'll just say just off of that is those guys, be patient, be patient. They have NFL, seriously, Mills and Cross would be getting drafted. Oh, yeah. Had they gone into the draft, they would have been drafted this year. So it's like, be patient. You have two NFL draft picks playing in front of you. Yeah. I mean, next year, man, you'll have 2 5th-year guys, assuming obviously Anya and Rubio come back. But those young guys, man, they really showed a lot of promise on that interior. That was really exciting. And I know we talked a handful, but Houston, I keep going back to, Devin Houston, like really, really stood out to me as a young guy. I just wasn't expecting to move as good as that. So that was exciting. That was exciting.
Houston had that one rep, and I'm sure you remember this, Tim, where he shot the gap. I think he shot the A or B gap, got into the backfield, led to a Kahanu Kia tackle for loss. And I'm like, oh, I didn't think Houston had that kind of get off. That was an impressive one.
No, I was going to say exactly. His movement was nice. So it's like, be patient, be patient out there, especially those families. Be patient with those guys. Let those big kids keep growing, developing. Because there's some serious good talent in those two classes, which is nice.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
What else we got to say?
I'll just say one more thing on all this. I don't know if this fan base truly understands the wealth of riches that Notre Dame has on the interior of the defensive line right now. Like, because of Howard Cross and Riley Mills, and we thought both of them were going to be gone, like you said, Tim, they'd be getting drafted. And I think maybe not this, like after last season, but after what Jason Anye just did in the blue gold game, and I think he's going to do that as in a reserve capacity pretty much all season long. I wouldn't be shocked if he says, you know what, I got my degree, I think he could get drafted in 2025. I really do. I think he's that good. And he's one of those guys. I keep talking about who looks impressive off the field, but Jack, I know, agrees with me here. He walks up to the interview room that we interview these guys in, second floor of the IAC. And it's like, holy cow, I want that guy. If things go haywire at the linebacker, I want that guy on my side. Like, he's big.
No, I was going to say, well, let's give him 30 seconds because that's another guy. I mean, you look at him over these last couple of years. I'm going to eat my words on Jason because I've never been a big fan of his. Just like, great-looking guy, can't get off blocks, can't make plays. That is one of the most improved dudes in the last 2 years. Yeah. Arna, there's no reason why he can't be the dime package nose guard and just go crazy, get him as many plays. There's no reason why he shouldn't get 25, 30 snaps this year somehow. And you said it perfectly, Tyler. He will test well, do all those things well, be a late-round draft pick, a free agent, make a team, go play 10 years because he's athletic. And you could just see him just – he's gotten better each and every year, which means he will continue doing that. And very, very impressive on Saturday. Just the way that dude moves is nice.
One more. Go ahead, Tyler.
One more quick thing. On
or Jack, I'm sorry.
On Anya, Al Washington, in his press conference after the game, as the Blue head coach, he was asked about, I think, Traore and Obin specifically. And at the end, he's like, unprompted, here's another guy who has really improved, Jason Anya. And he said specifically, like, the things that Notre Dame asked Jason Anya to do and really criticized him for last year, like pad level, like, you know, being comfortable in his own skin as a player, like getting off blocks, like he's doing them right now. Like you said, Tim, I don't know how many snaps are out there for Anya this year just because of how good Riley Mills and Howard Cross are, but he's going to be a valuable rotational defensive tackle this year for sure.
All right, number four was Tim wanted to watch it for this in the Blue Gold game was who wins the one-on-one matchups on the outsides. Well, I'll tell you, it's usually the scholarship guys over those poor walk-ons. but Tim, what do you think?
Yeah, I was going to say we could throw this one out because this was one, I don't know, you know, I was thinking like, the corners, wide receivers, and then who played wide receiver? The guy in the green jersey was out there more than anybody.
It was Jack Pullian and Alex Whitman. It was two guys.
Sure, exactly. Michael Bell's in the portal now, so who cares? It's like, yeah, this one is a throwaway. We'll learn more about these guys when they go to College Station. But I was excited to watch some of these guys run around, have some fun. So that was nice to see.
I'll tell you, I mean, the fans know this one. This one's easy. And I don't remember exactly who he was up against on both of them. But Micah Gilbert was wide open on both of his. I mean, we talked about Talich, the safety, crashing on the second one. Great ball. But on both of his touchdowns, wide open. And we've seen that in spring ball, all spring ball. So I could tell you one guy that gets open, it's Micah Gilbert. And then another guy, he didn't make a catch until the third quarter, but he was targeted a bunch before then. He had the drop. He had the play where he was wide open and Steve Angeli just took a little bit of time getting him the ball and then ended up throwing it behind him. But I've got no reservations with Jaden Greathouse getting open. I know that guy's going to get open on Saturdays. So, and that was an interesting matchup. I wrote about it going in, him and Jaden Osbury. I think Osbury actually did lock him up a few times, but when Greathouse does get open, I think he's getting better and better in the open field with the ball in his hands. Like, I think that guy's just a perfect slot player. And we had that discussion last time I was on too, Tim, him and Faison, like how are you going to keep both of them happy in the slot? Two totally different players, but both so good at what they do. Like, I think both of them get open, and they're good.
I will echo that point about Greathouse. I think he was open much more than he actually got the ball Saturday afternoon. And also echo that about Osbury, because I thought that was the biggest mismatch in the game, and Osbury really held his own.
You know what? Let me ask you guys something. Real quick on me, I just bet Gray is Gray, as in Christian Gray. He's a smooth cat out there, man. He's just fun to watch. He's just like, why even throw to him? What the hell are you doing, CJ Carr? It's like, it's Christian Seidler. Like,
Tim, I know you love rewatching games more than anything. And when I rewatched and I saw the Christian Gray plays, I was thinking to myself, does this guy just like stick a magnet on the other guy's jersey and then put one on his own. And because every time they run downfield, you attempt that ball and the camera pans into the corner and the wide receiver, and Christian Gray is just right there every time. He's good.
My question for you guys is, this is a wide receiver thing. So Notre Dame's got 11 wide receivers, right? Handful of them obviously didn't play, you know, the other day. And Mike Brown, in one of his press, you know, when he met with you guys a month ago, early on, whatever the heck it was, you know, one of his big talking points is, oh, my goal is to find six. Well, it's like only – it's like they have 11. It's like, who are the six? And I even went back, like, which is just me with some of these guys. How in the world – so if he's only going to play six, five are sitting, how in the heck are Evans and Reardon on the bench? Love Price, you know what I mean? So it's going back to, they got bodies, man. They got dudes. How they mix and match is going to be interesting. But what is your opinion on who are the sixth wide receivers? Knock on wood, we don't have 20 injuries like last year. But, you know, love to hear you guys stay on that, because that was a Mike Brown thing. Like, my goal is to find six guys. I'm comfortable with playing six. That's what I want.
As of right now, I think it's Greathouse, Faison, Mitchell. I think as of right now, those are the three like non-negotiables that they're going to be in there. Bo Collins, you can safely assume. We can't say for sure because he's not there yet. Jaden Thomas, if he's healthy, and I think that's becoming a bigger and bigger if every time we get a hamstring update. Micah Gilbert, Jaden Harrison. Is there anyone I'm forgetting there? That's seven.
Colsey?
Colsey?
I think
Colsey's behind those seven right now.
Yeah. Real quick
off of that, Jack. Do you think Micah Gilbert's going to get on the field above those older guys?
He's already playing above Colsey right now. We saw that in the scrimmage.
Okay.
He's the one that's kind of throwing this for a loop, because you have that seniority and then you have like the high upside guys. He's one of the latter, but if his high upside is more than what the senior guy is giving you, then what I saw from Colsey in that first half on Saturday, I thought was pretty impressive. The thing about Colsey is, I don't think and he's a boundary receiver. He really can't play the other two positions. He's all boundary. He's not beating you deep and making a contested catch. Well, I think his best attribute from Saturday, and we've seen it when he's at his best, even in regular season games, he's such a big body that he can kind of rough up a corner between 5 to 10 yards. And if it's 3rd and 8 and you send him 7 or 8 yards down and he just plants there, he can catch that one and fall forward and give you that first down. He's not the 15 to 17 yard downfield, run a deep comebacker and make that play, unless he's like wide open, unless it's zone coverage and he finds a spot. So I think he's out, honestly. And if you got to go two guys at every position, it's Greathouse, Faison, it's Mitchell, and
Harrison, you have to, maybe?
And maybe Harrison, that's where you put him. And then at boundary, I think it's probably going to be Gilbert and Collins. I think that might be your six, because Logan Saldate coming in, that's just not going to happen. Cam Williams, like, I think after 15 practices, and we saw a lot of them, I can definitively say that Micah Gilbert is ahead of Cam Williams. So he's probably out. I said Colsey's out. Who am I missing? That's three guys that I said are out.
Is Jaden Thomas.
KK.
Thomas.
Jaden Thomas. And KK Smith, yeah.
KK Smith has amazing speed and some talent. So
I liked what I saw from KK Smith during the Blue Gold game. We shouldn't I don't think he's going to be in those
hands.
For me, it's hands.
How was he in the stadium scrimmage a week ago? Was he flashy there? Or
did he make any plays?
I don't remember him doing much.
Played more in the Blue and Gold game.
I'll say something real quickly on the speed. Like, he is so – if he was born, I don't know, 15, 20 years earlier, you put him on a Mike Leach Texas Tech team, and that dude is catching 50 passes for 1,100 yards and 8 touchdowns. Like, just let him run. And he's so small. I'm not the biggest guy in the world, but like, I can make him look small, but he can run, man. He can run like the wind.
I don't like that Mike Brown said that he's looking for six. I don't like that.
That was the quote of his press conference, man. When you heard that, I was like, oh,
well, all right. I don't know. Like,
get depth, and now you're leaving half of it out.
Yeah. I mean, I get saying that internally, but now what are guys like us going to do forever? As long as Mike Brown's here, going to be like, well, there's six. So now we're comparing and contrasting the six, yeah, because you gave us that on a silver platter. I don't even like limiting it to six. If that's truly what you're going to do, because for me, Jaden Harrison is not in that six. And I think that he still will play. So I don't even think that it will be six. I know that's what he said, but I think it's going to be seven.
If the six are good enough, it'll only be six. If the six aren't good enough, you got to be like, all right, this guy needs to go in that spot. Like, that's when guys like Colsey come in, because it's okay, he probably can't do this, but maybe Colsey can. But Colsey's definitely not one of those guys that's on the field all the time. He's top six. I don't think he's top six to me.
The thing that's tough about Colsey is that when he's been healthy, he's been really good. I mean, going back to the Drew Pine to Colsey on third and 15 multiple times against at USC, like, the guy has been reliable, but he's just injury bug has just been tough for
him. He's a squaring guy. He's a squaring guy. The short seams look – I mean, the pass that CJ hit him on the other day is like, that's Colsey. That inside up the bound, you know, up the hash mark type of wide receiver. He's always solid there. And at a crossing route, yeah. It's interesting because that thing's always stuck with me. Like, dude, you got 11 guys. So, but there's going to be injuries. That's, I mean, heck, we've already seen it. You guys, geez, Louise. There you go. I hit my ass in there.
Usually it's the quarterbacks that get, quarterback and offensive line that gets Tim that worked up. Now he's dropping the camera on the receivers.
In my hands, the hands are going moving, but it's like, yeah, it's the six. So who are they? We'll find out. There's going to be injuries, as you guys saw this spring.
It's tough because, like, Jaden Harrison, I think Tyler kind of goes with Colsey in that, like, he's good when used a specific way. He's obviously going to elevate the special teams unit too. He's a great kick returner. He's an All-American kick returner. So he's obviously going to help Notre Dame, but I think they're, to some extent, you kind of have to find ways to get him the ball on offense, because he's probably one of their three, if not one, fastest offensive players. And I thought he showed really impressive hands in that first practice. That when we really saw him in the full time capacity before he got hurt. So I agree with you guys that, like, there are more than six guys who we feel like should see the field, and obviously it's going to be cut down because the injuries. I mean, it already is. But it's going to be fascinating in fall camp to see how they narrow that down.
The one thing that also, the last thing that I'll say about this is the blue gold game. I know there were, like you said, Tim, there were walk-ons, the running backs got involved catching the football. The tight ends, I thought, were really good catching the football that day, but you had five healthy scholarship receivers go out there. And the last thing you wanted was for a KK Smith to get all those targets and never catch the ball, or heaven forbid, a senior like Deion Colsey go out there and play as much as he did early in that game and not catch the ball. All five made plays at some different point or the other. Colsey, Greathouse, Mitchell, Thomas, Smith. They all made plays at some point or the other in that game. So there's five guys right there. You're like, okay, there's only five. Like, you need one more. They didn't even have six for that game. But I don't think six – six could be enough. That's all I'm saying. Six in the regular season, if you have six wide receivers that you trust, that could be enough.
I know. I mean, I like how we're going off of the five talking points, because we're throwing almost every player under there. We're getting, you know, we're able to break down the blue and gold game, so to speak. But one guy we haven't mentioned who may be the best wide receiver with the ball in his hands, wherever the hell he's at on the field, is Mr. Love. It's like, just get that guy the damn football. He's unbelievable.
That one play that he made when he caught the ball outside the left hash and brought it all the way over to the right hash, I think it gained like 30 to 40 yards, broke a couple tackles, made a couple moves. That, if that was the only Jeremiah Love play that you saw all day, that's the only one you needed to see, because it's like, okay, that's who that guy is. And he's good for that at any point in the ball game. And I think he's finally going to get the reps to, there's probably going to be one of those plays every single game that he's out there.
I love what they're doing with Jeremiah Love. Just, you know, we talked to Mike Denbrock in the spring, and he's like, we're moving him out there because we need to find ways to get him the ball. And I love that they're doing that, because I think he is the most explosive skill player on this team. It's probably either him or Chris Mitchell. You're so right that he has the ability to take the ball, cut up field, and just go. One of the craziest things I've ever heard on TV was Gary Danielson, I think it was him, the CBS Sports announcer, saying in the Sun Bowl that Love is not an explosive player. I was like, what on earth are you talking about? That he's super explosive and they got to get him the ball.
Gary Danielson always catching strays, man.
Tell me you haven't been watching a whole lot of Notre Dame football without telling me you haven't been watching a whole lot of Notre Dame football. It's crazy to me you lose Audric Estime and your running backs.
Be better.
With James Price and Jim Merrill.
I'm telling you. I keep saying it. I wanted to get ahead of that one. Like, I see Kyren Williams in Aeneas Williams. It's nuts.
Yeah.
He does so much of the little things well. He's not the fastest, most explosive guy, but he's tough to tackle. He pass blocks. He pass catches. He's just a good football player.
He scores touchdowns. I know it was just a blue gold game, but like that, everything that you just described is Kyren Williams, and it's why he's going to be on the Rams for the next 5 years, 5-6 years.
Last topic here, Tim was looking at a new era at linebacker, of course. You know, Kingston, Drake Bowen, Snead's been around for a couple of years and has been playing. But a step forward for him, we're hoping. Preston Zinder, got to show my boy some love. Tim, what did you see from the linebackers?
A lot of skill, a lot of speed when you go back and rewatch it. And obviously they're vanilla and things of that nature. But bodies, man, it's how do you – I mean, they're a nickel defense. They're going to play five DBs. We know that. They're going to play six DBs. You only got two linebackers on the field. So how do you get some of these guys on there? Osbury, I've always been like, can he really play Rover? You know, the nickel, that's basically what that position is. Can he play the slot? He shows that guy could run. I was very impressed by him. That's one player I'm like, wow, he could do something you hear about and you think he can. You watch his film, high school film, you see him run around when he got in a little last year. Yeah, he's not the biggest dude and whatnot. I think he fits that role perfectly. And it's like, man, my God, you got SEC looking linebackers. Let's be honest. When you go, I mean, how are the three linebackers just not like, I'm going to play Osbury, Snead, KVA? I mean, those are the three most impressive dudes. If you put all those guys in a row playing on Saturdays with those older guys in front of them, that would be my linebacker group, but that's just me.
Yeah, Jack Kaiser obviously didn't play a whole lot, which I think was perfect because it gave us the opportunity to watch these guys that you're talking about. And I mean, I don't know if there's much more to say other than Kingston Viliamuasa is day one ready. And I've made this comparison, and I'm not going to say specific names, but everyone – like, I brought up Bryce Young earlier, so I will say a specific name because I already did earlier. Marcus Freeman said, you know, who looks the most ready, and he said Bryce Young. I think that was out of just, like, he can't say Kingston anymore because he had said it so many times before that. And, you know, to wrap all of that up, every coach at every program ever, like, that is one of the – off-season staple questions is which one of these freshmen is going to do it for you right away. And the coach has to say, usually the coach ends up naming 3 to 5 guys, but you kind of know it's probably not him. It's probably not him, but you're not quite sure. Like, who is it really here right now? Notre Dame, it's Kingston, man. Like, holy cow. He looks like he's ready to play middle linebacker right now, every down. And I put this on the board. Maybe I put it in a story that I wrote today. Notre Dame's had some pretty good linebackers over the last 10 to 15 years, but I'm not sure they've had one who in April you could say, yeah, he's going to play and he's going to play a lot right away. Since Manti Te'o, because Owusu-Koramoah wasn't that guy as a freshman, right? Like, he grew into that, if I remember correctly.
I mean, Jalen, it's what I've been talking about. Kingston.
Jalen Smith, yeah.
And I texted Mike, like, do they really have a shot at this? When Mike put his prediction in, and that was a year out. It's KVA, it's Manti, and it's Jalen Smith. Those guys, yeah. I mean, Manti didn't start till game four. So he got, you know, he could have started earlier. Weiss didn't want to basically throw him into the wolves, so to speak, because of the hype. So, but he played instantly those first three games. And by game four, it's like, yeah, you're not coming off the field. And Jalen was just, damn, yeah, you're different than everybody. And they started him at the Rover, which is now the the rover position where he started. But he's in that group, I feel. He's unbelievable. He's going to start this year as a freshman. There's going to be a time this year where he's just making plays. He's on the field. He's getting his feet wet. He's doing all the things. They're going to get him in one of those packages, and they're just going to be like, yeah, it's time to get on the field. And I think we're going to see that in the first, you know, 4 or 5 games like Manti did.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. And I think like the one I wouldn't even say knock. I would say like it's the one thing where you read about KVA and the one thing that you don't see mentioned is his speed. Not saying that people thought he had bad speed, but that's the thing that people didn't say was an obvious plus. We saw him track Jaden Greathouse in zone coverage, drop back deep like 20 yards down the field, and just knock the ball away. Knock the ball loose from the man by hitting him 20 yards down the field, tracking him the whole way against arguably Notre Dame's best wide receiver right now. That is not normal for any linebacker, let alone an early freshman. That's the first thing that stands out about KVA. The second one is that he's already lining up in multiple positions. Like they're playing him on the edge and at Mike linebacker. That's the only thing that's the thing you don't do until you have an advanced knowledge of the system at one position. Then you're like, all right, let's see if he can move around. KVA is doing that within his first 4 months on campus. And that's not normal for a freshman. He's going to be very good and very soon. Special player.
I don't know why you don't just start him right away. Like, and maybe that's like a slight to Drake Bowen, who paid his dues and like by all accounts is a really good football player. I think he deserves his props and his flowers as well. But like it's funny to me. We talked about the offensive line earlier. You got to find your best five, right? But like defensively, it's find your best 11. And at linebacker, whether you're in nickel or whether you're in base, it's find your best two. It's find your best three. Is he not one of the best two? Like right now, it's him and Jack Kaiser probably. And if it's not, then it's Jack Kaiser and Drake Bowen. Like one of those three guys is going to start. And then if you're in base, like Jalen Snead has his case obviously as well. But man, like you mentioned it, Tim, where Manti Te'o could have started right away. He just didn't because it's the freshman stigma thing. Like, I think a lot of people would get excited if the Notre Dame defense trotted onto the field in College Station in front of 115,000 people and Kingston Viliamu-Asa was one of the 11 guys that goes out there. They'd get excited, and then he would probably make a play and back up that decision. So
it's really tough, and I think it really underscores the point that, like, I asked Max Bolin in spring ball, like, are you open to a four or five man rotation at linebacker? And he said, yeah, we're not at all tied down to two or three. Like they did that last year because Maris Leifau, JD Bertrand, Jack Kaiser were just so much more experienced and on a different level with calling the defense, their knowledge of the defense than everyone else in the room. That's no longer the case. And I don't think they feel tied down to, you know, Drake Bowen and Jack Kaiser are going to play 60 snaps. Everyone else plays 10 at most, or KBA and Jack Kaiser play 60 snaps and so on and so forth. Like they're gonna play Osbury on third downs in pass rushing situations. Same with Snead. They're gonna put Bowen and KBA on the edge. They might run like a modified 3-4 base. We saw that a little bit in that Jersey scrimmage. They have so many options for what to do at linebacker. It's gonna be situational, and I think Al Golden in his third year with this team, you know, he's gonna know how to handle it.
No, that's a great point. Bringing up the reps, because obviously JD and Maris, those guys barely came off the field. Kaiser inserted at times here and there, but yeah, those guys played so much because these guys were young and not ready for prime time, so to speak. But it's like Bowen got his reps last year. Osbury's come on. Obviously, Zinter's got talent. He's going to grow into somewhere in that group. And Osbury's super talented. Then you got Kia, who's been traveling the world on a Mormon mission, comes back and gets a dozen tackles, which shows his skill level. And his, you know, little brother is going to be coming here in a year from now. So that's exciting. It's going to be different. And that's what I'm excited about with this linebacker group is last year when they went through their dime, you know, you kind of knew who it is. I think we're going to see multiple dudes playing, you know, some different roles this year between Snead, you know, Kingston, obviously Kaiser in 6 years is going to be the ringleader, but there's some dudes that are just better athletes than, you know, that Kaiser, that May, fit into a few roles here or there.
And like we say, we can argue that Kingston's going to start, and we might not be wrong, but I want to make it clear that, like, that's not saying Drake Bowen's going to sit on the bench the whole game. He's obviously going to play, and they're both going to play a ton this year.
Bowen?
Yeah,
I was going to say Bowen is the CJ Carr on defense, because all Freeman ever talks about when it comes to Bowen is the same thing. He's a sponge. The guy lives in the football offices and is just always in Bola's room watching film, and that's testament to him, his work ethic, and his goals. So, yeah, Bowen's going to play. These guys are all damn good football players. Just, it's going to be wild, man, to see a handful of these positions on this team rotate this year.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing for me is last year it was, okay, when is JD and Maris not out there? That's when you have to pay attention and be like, okay, it's somebody else. This year it's going to be every single snap. It's going to be who is out there, because it could be somebody else on every single snap. And that's exciting. And it also shows the depth that they have at this position. We've been waiting for this moment where we're talking about a handful of linebackers and not just the same two guys. And look, both of those guys might hear their name called this weekend. So you got to give them their props. They did their job at Notre Dame. But to your point, Tim, and to your bullet point going into that blue gold game, it is a changing of the guard at linebacker. And we're finally seeing it play out in front of our eyes.
Jack, Tyler, appreciate you guys hopping on the show, giving your excellent insights, spending an hour with us. We'll definitely have you guys on again soon. Appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, Jack Sobel and Tyler Horka. Fantastic insight as always. Tim, was that everything that you hoped it would be and more?
My producer, worked there where I mentioned, hey, let's get the fellas on and have a little blue and gold round table and chit chat, so to speak. Right. And no, it was awesome. It's good to hear different voices sometimes. Right, Mike, instead of just you and I on a Tuesday, Wednesday night. But no, that was good. That was good. Spring game was fun. There's so many damn things that feel like we could talk about from this team, this game, the young players, the influx of talent. So it's going to be an exciting few months getting ready for a training camp to kick into gear.
Folks, if you have not done so yet, make sure you hit the thumbs up on this video. Subscribe to our YouTube channel for more content. I really love this comment from Clontarf here. He says, here comes Singer to make everyone go to bed. Listen, you guys tease me about when it hits the hour mark, Singer's done. I went an hour and a half with Goolsby last night. Here's, you know, what, hour 19, hour 20? Yeah. So... And listen,
you're expanding, Mike. You're expanding.
This is three shows in 4 days for me. Now, yeah. I'm traveling Wednesday and Thursday, get back Friday for my recruiting show with Kyle Kelly. We'll be live 2 p.m. Eastern time because that's pretty much right when I'm getting home. I'm going to get home and we'll do the live show with Kyle Kelly. So that's the YouTube plan for the rest of the week here at Blue and Gold. Great show today. Always interesting to hear from Jack and Tyler on the beat side of things. And, of course, Tim Hyde watching the game 6,012 times. And I'm sure he'll watch it a few more times by our show next Wednesday. That's going to wrap up today's show. Unless you had anything else to add, Tim?
No. Thanks for everyone watching. Enjoy the rewatch for those that come on later down the road. And let's get into the next off season, breaking down this roster and get ready for Texas A&M. So, I mean, it's really exciting to.
I like Carberry's comment. Let the other guys have access to run a show. Listen, they totally can. Tim, you ever want to pop on here just to chit chat you and no one else for a couple hours? You could be my guest, my friend.
You know what? I may do that on a Saturday night one night, right? Just say, hey guys, I'm down in the basement. Let's talk.
I'll allow it. All right. Appreciate you guys as always. We'll catch you next time.
You got it.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.